had a meeting with Michael Johnson, and he said, "Really nice, but it's good business." And I said, "Yeah, thanks for that." We're on hold.
Okay, all right, thank you.
So we're gonna make any progress in this special question.
We can pass that crime bill. I'd be pretty.
That will be.
Yeah.
Should support.
Well, I understand he's represented crime bill doesn't like a bill. He wants to make it get wanted. And he holds the last, he'll have the card in his hand last at that judiciary committee. So unless caucus can convince the other one, because I don't know what they're saying. I don't lock my doors and have them.
You can't hear us what? Yeah.
Well, I just don't know. And the dealers are being really just inside. They suffer from the dealers. Mm-hmm. She's kind of on both sides. They don't
Well,
yeah. Hopefully on the stands, and the Senate has it back on April 7th.
Right.
So, yeah, that's what I've been telling people in Fairbanks, you know, the Cosmos Bill. And I tell them, look, there's one, this would be right in the creek if it doesn't happen. It's just getting out of hand here. Well, we don't have the data. Hold it. I have the data. I have the data. I heard this also.
Yeah, Detroit, Fairbanks.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah, I think we have to do it.
Yeah, I think so. About a week ago, I was in Juneau. The gas, he just got information from the FBI. Alaska is the most dangerous city.
Wow.
The cord, because one broke,
we have a closed location.
Do you have a separate line item for band?
And the band choir
is
now on the campus,
but
it
has,
it's really
for, like, sort of music central instrument,
but
it's
in first high, instrument.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
I think everybody has a regular.
Now, you just confused me.
Sorry, I overthought it. That's the problem. Music and sort of put our money for when they rent instruments. And for last year, that's what we used.
I would still take it out of that.
Okay.
If they're generating funds for instruments, if they're going to buy instruments, it should come out of that fund. That shouldn't be like a let's call it a field trip kind of thing.
Like our
public
instruments come out of regular.
Yeah.
Okay.
Folks from halfway houses are coming into the law library and wanting to read actually the study the deep of criminals.
Yeah.
The thing about criminals is they are underestimating these laws. Oh yeah.
Right.
Livelihood, right?
That's right.
Why did you rob the bank? Well, that's where the money was.
That's right.
And
you have to get away with it.
Right. Yeah. So
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you see, Sam has sent us something just now. There it is. I haven't heard it. I knew that they do five versions of Chromebook. Okay. Oh, I see. So, You're the victim. The goal, I see, okay, there's the goal.
Hello, is this a safety and well-being call?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello, yes it is.
Okay, I was just making sure. It's Leona.
Hi, Liz.
Oh, it sounds like the boss is on the line right now.
Oh, well, yeah, this is Santa. They said I was muted, and they hadn't said I was unmuted, so I guess I'm unmuted.
Yes, you were unmuted for quite a while.
Oh, no, not me, because we were muted here ourselves, so you were hearing somebody else, I guess, maybe. But anyway, we're ready to go then. So sorry to wait. I was waiting for the Lent office to come back on the line saying everyone was unmuted or that I was ready to go. So thank you all for joining us. This is the Safety and Wellbeing Committee meeting. I can't believe it's our last teleconference meeting. First of all, let's go around and see who is on the line with us today. So this will be easier, I guess. Let me call roll and have you. James?
I'm here.
Keith?
I'm also here.
Hello. Leona, I heard you.
Yes, I'm here.
Lily?
I'm here.
And Jennifer Hall-Jones, I think, is not able to join us today. Jennifer? Yes, she sent me an email. She will not be here. Senator Giesel?
Here.
Hello, welcome. Representative Tallarico? Pete?
Yes, I am here.
Hi. Norma? And I think Norma was joining us late. Laura?
I'm here.
Marcy? And I think Marcy will join us late also. Commissioner Monaghan or Walt? Commissioner Williams, Mary,
I'm here.
Hi. Sarah, I think, is not joining us today. Sarah, are you there? Maureen?
Here.
Jeff?
I'm here.
Hi.
Hi.
Lillian, I think, will join us late. And I'm here. And Todd?
Morning.
Todd's here. And Jerry, are you on with us? Hi, Jerry. Well, welcome, everyone. Thank you so much. So today, as we get started, I'll just recap where we are, and then I'm going to ask Jerry, I think, to share with us kind of the next steps a little bit, and then we'll focus on the goals, recommendations that the committee has drafted for our discussion today. So at our last meeting, we decided we would break into subcommittees for each of our three categories that we were working with a draft language, and each of those subcommittees, one for school climate, one for the trauma-informed practices, and one for student health. Those three subcommittees worked over the last few weeks to craft a tighter, more goal-oriented recommendation for the full committee then to consider and discuss and see if we will have a vote on these by the end of the day. so that we feel we are all in agreement to what we want to send forward for the State Board of Education to consider. First of all, I would like to say a huge thank you to Mary, who chaired the School Climate Committee, Laura, who chaired the Trauma, and Maureen, who chaired the Student Health. Each of these ladies are all involved in school in some way, principal, teacher, and the school nurse, and they took their time to work with their individual committees to come to the draft that you have today to look at. So I just want to say a huge thank you to them, and I know it was additional time on a very busy plate and schedule that they already had. So thank you so much for that extra work. So Jerry, what I would like to ask you maybe is to help maybe set the stage today for as we go forward to have the discussions with the three recommendations and then what will happen to them, and then we'll get started on each discussion of each recommendation.
Thank you, Hannah. I'm pleased to do that. Today is your final meeting, as you know, so what we're hoping comes out of this meeting are three recommendations that are tightly written, relatively short, and very direct. Attached to those recommendations, we would like rationale that is relatively brief, 1 to 2, maybe possibly 3 paragraphs. This information obviously goes to the students.
I'm sorry, we can't hear you very well at all, Jerry.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
No.
Is this better?
No, you're kind of like you're in a tunnel or something.
Muffled.
Muffled, yes.
Okay, let me get closer to the phone. How about this? Is this better?
Not really.
Well, it must be the telephone we have, the equipment. What I can do one of two things. I can go down and get a technician to come up here and then give you a few minutes to move ahead, and then I'll try to get our phone system improved, and then maybe I could share that information with you. Would that be okay?
You sound a little bit better to me. Let's ask some of the other committee members. Maybe if you just speak up a little bit. You sounded better there.
I can hear him better.
Okay, I will hover right over the
there. There you go. That's good.
Okay, very good. Next step. We're hoping today that you will finalize your recommendations, and we'll have three recommendations that are tightly written and relatively short. I'm looking at 1 to 2, possibly 3 sentences. We want to send very clear, concise messages to the State Board of Education and to our stakeholders across the state who will have an interest in your work. Attached to each recommendation, we would like a brief, and I'm talking 2 paragraphs, maybe 3, rationale statement, again, that's tightly written to justify the value of the recommendations that you're about to make. Once you complete your work, that work will be presented on October 4th at a meeting at the Denina Center, to which you are all invited. It will be the final meeting of the task force group, and you will, at that point, have an opportunity to share your recommendations with everyone in the audience. Each of the 5 committees will be sharing their transformative ideas with others. You'll have about a 30-minute window to do that, and during that time, we would recommend you use about half of that time to make your presentation and the other half of the time for Q&A with the audience. And the intent here is to ensure that as people leave the meeting, they have a very clear understanding of what the recommendations are to go forward to the State Board of Education.
The following day, October 5th, the State Board of Education meets again at the Denina Center in a work session that's obviously a public session, and they will take up those recommendations that were made to them on the previous day. They will go to some lengths by working with the committee facilitators and department staff members to ensure that they delve deeply into those recommendations so they thoroughly understand them. What I anticipate we will see is that there will be some great connections and similarities between the recommendations coming from different groups. And so there will be some obvious ways that we can redirect resources to address priorities that are coming forth. After that state board meeting, the commissioner will, and possibly state board members, will be sharing those recommendations with stakeholder groups across the state at different public meetings and conferences. And on December, I think it's December 7 and 8, the state board will finalize, they will, based upon additional input and additional considerations, make any final changes to the recommendations, approve them, and advance the recommendations to the governor and the legislature at that time. So that's kind of how it plays out going forward.
Thank you, Jerry. And then we'll, at the end of today, we'll talk a little bit more about specific logistics and the actual presentations themselves. So, Jerry, I have one more question that I would like for you to think about and address the committee. Currently, we have three recommendations that this committee is considering.
Mm-hmm.
During our meetings, we have had a lot of conversation about how each of these recommendations are interwoven, they complement each other, they're connected. Do you think it is, going forward for the strategy, is it advantageous to have three, since we will have five committees with possibly three recommendations each for the state board to look at and possibly prioritize? Is it more advantageous to have each of these stand alone so we can share maybe more detailed information and explain, or is it a better strategy to try and combine these in a way that's meaningful and doesn't lose the pieces of each one? What's your thought about that?
Thank you. That's great. It's a great question to answer, and it depends on several factors. One of them is the grain size or the magnitude of the recommendations. If they're significantly interwoven, then it becomes, tends to lose a little bit of horsepower as you go forward. If they're truly standalone recommendations that have their own justifications, then I would pursue three of them. One other committee ultimately is coming forward with one recommendation. And they looked at, started out with three, and then they went to two, and they finally realized that, in their view, that the other two recommendations were really part of the rationale for the first recommendation. So we leave it to the good judgment of your committee members to wrestle with these ideas today and advance it in the way that you think is most meaningful. But from just looking at the work of different committees, I think when we get too small of a grain size, we kind of get away from the transformational nature of recommendations, and they become good ideas and ideas of high value, but they may not be significant enough on their own to be considered or viewed as transformational by others. So I'll leave it at that, and trust you folks to figure it out.
Thanks, Jerry, for that insight from you. So I think what I would like the committee to do today is to let's go have a thorough discussion about each of the recommendations, and I'm going to ask each subcommittee chair to read that recommendation, and then the committee could either ask questions or if any of the other subcommittee members would like to share how they ended up on that recommendation. And then we'll work through all three, and then I think at the end maybe have some conversation about how to move forward. So, Mary, I think if you don't mind, let's start with the school climate recommendation. If you don't mind reading that and sharing a little bit about this recommendation, and have any of your subcommittee members maybe chime in or have questions from any of the other committee members.
This is Pete. I was just curious, do we have a copy of that? Did that come in an email?
Yes, it did. It came actually twice. I sent it. Yes. Well, let me look. I'm trying to determine the
one.
I think I sent one yesterday that had all three, and then I sent one this morning because there was a tweak on
the trauma one. Was updated this morning.
The trauma one was updated this morning, so you got that one, a new version of it, and then the other two should be in an email. I'm looking back really quickly to see if I can find exactly when it was sent.
I just located it.
Good.
Thanks. And I guess it's what day it was sent. Yeah, on the Tuesday the 19th. Okay, excellent. Thanks. Sorry for that.
Yeah, hi, this is Mary. So would you like me to read it and then just kind of explain the process?
Yes, that would be great. Thanks, Mary.
And can you hear me well?
Perfect.
Okay. So our goal that we came up with as a committee is, I'll just read it to you and then I'll explain the process because I am not quite sure what the best way to do it is, so I'll do that. Our goal is we tried to really bring it down to something that was clear, very clear and concise. So the school climate goal is to achieve equity and educational opportunity in public education. Ooh, okay, that's worded weird. Every Alaska school must create a sustainable and positive school climate that is safe, supportive, and engaging for all students, staff, and stakeholders. So I guess it would be in order to achieve equity and educational opportunity in public education, every Alaska school must create a sustainable and positive school climate that is safe, supportive, and engaging for all students, staff, and stakeholders. The rationale behind that, we had to spend quite a bit of time going back and forth over the rationale, but the rationale, there's so much that you can pull from, and you can have like a 200-page rationale if you wanted to, or more, I don't know. So we tried to pull the best and most, just the information that would really create an urgency to transform our schools, and so this is what we came up with for the rationale. The school climate of a school is the visceral, almost palpable sense of safety and belonging that people experience on site. It can be described as warm or cool, safe or unsafe. Research shows that a positive school climate directly impacts indicators of school success, such as increased teacher retention, lower dropout rates, decreased incidences of violence, and higher student achievement. A positive school climate promotes student learning and healthy development. In order to transform our schools in Alaska and achieve breakthrough results, we must place school climate as one of our highest priorities. In a 2012 study conducted by Anchorage Unified for Youth, it was found that the more protective factors youth report in their life, the greater their likelihood of decreased risk factors, for example, alcohol use, binge drinking, marijuana use, school absenteeism, and increased positive behaviors such as attending school regularly, getting A's and B's in school. And maybe there should be more there, I'm not sure. School climate factors such as believing teachers care about students, clear boundaries and consequences, feeling safe at school, having positive norms, and positive meaningful youth engagement all bolster these protective factors that create an environment in which students make healthy choices. 2015 statewide Alaska data from the School Climate and Connectedness Survey shows that 62% of students in traditional high schools feel their teachers really care about them and show them encouragement, and 66% feel that their schools have clear rules and consequences for behavior. Bullying on school grounds is a growing concern, as is absenteeism. Every school year since the Department of Education began collecting data in 2007, between 1,400 and 2,100 student suspensions for bullying, harassment, and intimidation have occurred in Alaska K-12 public schools. This data only reflects the most severe incidences. According to the 2015 Alaska Youth Risk Behavior Survey, 22.8% of high school students at traditional high schools were bullied on school property. That actually is very similar to the national statistic as well. And 17.7% were electronically bullied in the last year. Alaska's rate of chronic absenteeism is about twice the national average. The Alaska Department of Education 2015-2016 full-day unexcused absences absent data shows 243,772 full-day unexcused absences reported by Alaska school districts during the, we've said that twice, that's the redundant, during the 2015-2016 school year. 129,588 students enrolled in public schools in that school year. The Alaska Department of Education during this school year shows that truancy data shows 15,154 students were reported as truant. Approximately 1 in 9 students have 5 or more days of unexcused absences during the school year. That's what we have. And so the process that we did was we met first with a conference call just to get our ideas down and spend a couple hours just talking it through and figuring out what our goal would be and kind of starting to identify some rationale behind why we chose the goal and worded it the way we did. And then we spent the rest of our time going back and forth through email. We were going to do a Google Doc, but we just felt like we wanted to keep everyone on board. We had a short amount of time, and we just went back and forth through email with the rationale. And Todd did some heavy lifting for us with pulling some data, and so did some of our other committee members. So overall, I feel like every voice was heard on our committee, and this is just a draft, in our opinion, of our work, you know, being so far apart and going back and forth. So we're totally open to whatever you guys feel needs to be changed to be changed. These are just our big ideas. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary, so much. Now, do any other of the subcommittee members for this, the school climate subcommittee, want to share any of their thoughts or ideas around this? And then I'm going to ask for just the committee to ask questions or share thoughts. No questions? Any other discussion about this, or do we feel like this is a standalone goal, or do we want to go ahead and look, read through, think about all of them together and come back to a discussion?
I would like to go through all of them and then go back to the discussion. This is Laura. Some of the rationale that was used in this part, the subcommittee's work is redundant due to the trauma rationale that was used, as well as some of the language and the goal is very similar. So I think if we listed all three, we should.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Okay. Does anyone else have an does anyone have an objection to that, that we just move on, we'll go through all three, and then look at them together? Okay, then the next one, then, I'm going to ask Laura, who was the chair of this, the trauma-informed group, to share their goal. And I did send out a kind of a tweaked, edited version of the trauma-informed practices recommendation this morning.
So the tweaked version was just some wordsmithing. It does not appear to have taken away from the goal at all. Replacing ignored each student instead of all. Just let me read it. Let me go back and explain. The committee met through teleconference, and actually, with the help of Sharon and Todd, we had some amazing technology going on where people could see, I don't even know what it was called, but some people could see what we were writing here in Juneau and could request edits as things went up on the board. So it was fantastic, and I really appreciate that. So the goal this committee came up with, and then from there, we actually spent time emailing back and forth after our initial meeting. So the goal we came up with was to provide safety and care for the well-being of each student. Alaska schools will create a culturally humble, responsive, and safe environment that recognizes the needs of the whole child, institute trauma-informed practices, and understands the vital importance of building relationships with every child to help to improve resiliency, health, and academic outcomes. Through both expanded community and state partnerships, and ongoing professional development and support, the school-wide trauma-informed practices will be developed that begin with early learning, create nurturing relationships with students, incorporate social-emotional learning, establish an understanding of adverse childhood experiences, establish reflective practices, develop a network of personal and professional relationships, integrate restorative practices. So that is our goal. The rationale is quite lengthy. It's several pages, and the rationale is based on actual data. So if you look at, I'm not going to read each one. However, there's data from the ACE and Educational Achievement. There's data from ACEs and Suicide. There's data from the 2015 Statewide Youth Risk Behavior Survey, and results related to relationships. There's Department of Ed suspension and expulsion data. There's restorative practice data, bullying and behavior problems. Again, data through, I think that one came through ACEs. Absenteeism data, and then the statewide chronic absenteeism as well. So there's a lot of studies that support how trauma, the lack of trauma-informed practices in schools are creating challenges for our students in the state of Alaska to be successful. So that is what our committee came up with. And like I said, some of it is very complements the previous committee. I'm trying to find sort through paperwork. But anyway, does anyone have any questions?
Hi, this is Jeff.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, I'm sure you probably went back and forth on the word culturally humble, but could you give us some background on what that means?
Yes, actually, it actually came from one of our committee members, I think it was Pat, actually. Pat Sidmore helped us out with that word, and I guess humble is becoming more and more common to be used around cultural identities. And so the committee really liked it, not just being responsive to culture, but also humble to culture. And so that's where that word came from.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I think what the committee, this is Santa, and I think in conversations around this, we want to make sure that this is not perceived as an indictment of any one group or any segment. That we understand that trauma occurs in, as we see these high percentages, so it's across all students that are attending our school. I mean, we have segments that are experiencing trauma in all aspects of the economic status, geographic So it's very diverse in our school population. So we wanted to come across as recognizing that this is not, that this affects the whole child within many areas of school. So I think we were trying to come up with a word that expressed that in some way. Does any other committee member from this subcommittee want to talk about this or share anything else before we'll go look at the student health and then we'll have an overall discussion?
This is Walt, and I'm kind of waiting for everybody so we can all kind of discuss them together.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go on, and I'll ask Maureen to share the student health goal.
I'm sorry, this is Jeff again. I have yet to be able to find anything on student health. Can you help me with that?
It would have been in the email that went out from Santa, I believe, yesterday?
Yes.
Okay, I'll look. Thank you.
On yesterday's email.
Okay. So anyway, the revised goal is, it is absolutely fundamental that every child enrolled in public education in the state of Alaska have access to school nursing/health services. Currently, the physical and mental health needs of all students are not being addressed equitably across our state. Collaboration between school nursing, public health, tribal health, local clinics, and mental health providers will be needed to adequately address the needs in all communities. That's redundant thing across the state again. And I would want to insert in there collaboration between school counselors and nursing. So it would be, you know, already within the building, counselors and nurses do collaborate all the time to meet the needs of the kids. And with the rationale that students must be healthy in order to learn, and then and that would be mental health as well as physical health. And then I included several attachments in my rationale that came to Santa and Todd that discussed, you know, Alaska schools particularly, some statistics with our schools, and also the link with absenteeism, with most reasons for being absent have to do with health or illness is what the parent is calling the kid in for. So school nurses are key in addressing chronic absenteeism. We partner with public health in order to, you know, with our immunization, you know, making sure kids are up to date on their immunizations, but also any disease outbreaks and let's see, sorry, I'm sounding a little bit of rambling here, but you know, so the big five districts mostly do have a nurse in every school, so part of this goal is to look at how we can extend that all schools have someone, you know, just the basics. You know, we have many Alaska state laws governing school nursing practice, including the requirement that all kids have their vision and hearing screened, and that all students should have a physical exam prior to entry into Alaska State, into our public schools. And so how do we meet that across, you know, we're not paying for those physical exams, but having a school nurse can also do exams. And so that would be one kind of innovative way to make sure that kids at some point in time, you know, have their vision and hearing is screened annually during the elementary school years. That, you know, that's just one small example of the state laws that govern, you know, that have been in the past recognized as being very important. And so we need to look at, are we meeting that in every pocket of the state? Are all kids having the basic, you know, are they healthy and can they see and hear and are they ready to learn? Chronic diseases have gone up. We're seeing way more kids with asthma and allergies in our schools, seizure disorders. Premature births, so many more children are surviving and entering into our schools. So anyway, there's, and then also with the school counseling piece, It is recommended that each school have a school counselor and that 80% of their time be spent in direct services with students. So again, the nurses and the counselors work very closely together. We often see in the health office kids with their somatic complaints, you know, the complaints of the stomachache and headache are really to do with a mental health problem or trauma that they're experiencing in the home. And so as the team approach, you know, we feel very strongly that all kids have access to those services. Yeah, we'll work on having a little tighter rationale, but there are so many documents out there supporting the importance of addressing kids' physical and mental health in the school setting.
Thanks, Maureen. I think for each of these, that's why I feel like each of the subcommittees did such a very nice job, because the rationale behind every one of these, we could have just multiple documents, large amounts of backup statistics that support each of these. So I feel very, very good about the rationale. But as Jerry said, when we send this forward to the state board, we'll have to cull down and really just hit some very specific points for each of these for the rationale if we go forward with three. Any questions for the Student Health Committee or clarifications? Okay, well then now I'm gonna open the floor up for discussion about each of these, and if anyone would like to give their opinion or viewpoint about leaving them as standalone three recommendations, is there thought about combining them or not? So I will just open that up to any committee member that would like to start or share their thoughts.
This is Mary McMahon. I'm just going to jump right in because I'm being pulled in a couple different directions this afternoon. I really would like to see us have clear and concise goals for each of these areas, because I think they stand alone as very important and need their own goal that's clear and concise. But I do feel like we can combine the rationale underneath each of these goals and clean that up to where it's just one powerful rationale statement for maybe all of them. I'm not sure.
Okay, thanks, Mary. Other thoughts?
This is Jeff. I was echo Mary's sentiment, especially with the rationale. When I was when she was going over the school climate, I had written ACEs on the side where we were talking about the risk factors. Somehow, maybe combining that whole ACEs rationale with each of these would be a big help.
Thanks, Jeff.
If you had a singular rationale, could it be a little longer than two or three paragraphs? Or just because there's such rich rationale for each of these, I wonder if we could be a little long. Jerry?
That's a Jerry question.
Well, you can be as long as you want. Remember, you have to remember, most people aren't going to read a heck of a lot. I would share this thought with you. After working with several other committees, you're one of the two committees that are finishing their work. As each committee has reached this point, they've gone back and gone through the very exercise you are in the midst of right now. And what they've discovered and what I might share with you is that it seems to me that the goal statements are pretty short, that the rationale, your goal statements are including a lot of why you need to do it. And as I look at them, I see goals, brief goals within your goal statement, and I see a lot of rationale attached, a lot of why this matters. And I think by separating those, if you would look at it through that lens, you might find some additional opportunities to clarify your message and do it in a briefer format.
Thanks, Jerry. Any other thoughts or discussion around the keeping the three? Do we want to take a vote on that? Because I think if we could make sure we're all on the same page for that, then I think we could work on maybe tightening up each of the goals. Let's take a, that's what I'll do. I'll just go around and ask. So we're going to vote. So I'm going to add, the question is, do we keep three separate recommendations to move forward to the State Board of Education? Yes or no? James, do you want to vote?
If we didn't do three, what would be the, what's the alternative trying to come back?
Oh, I'm sorry. The one, so do we keep three separate, or do we try to combine our three areas into one?
Can we have a discussion on that?
Yeah, oh yes, absolutely. Have a discussion on that. That's what I was I don't want to do this too fast. I want you all to share your ideas and thoughts first.
This is Laura. I'm looking at school climate, and I'm looking at the trauma-informed practice. And I'm wondering if there was a way to make those into one goal statement. Because they are very bad. They're very important pieces, but they overlap. So, I mean, for example, I was just looking at the trauma one. It says to provide safety and care for the well-being of each student. And I look at the school climate, and we could say to provide equitable public school sustained support and engagement for each, where we could say each student, staff, and stakeholders. I mean, so we could put this together, because actually school climate and understanding trauma, they kind of go hand in hand in so many venues. I mean, there are some differences, I'm just thinking that we could narrow those two down, and because there's a lot of similar rationale behind both of those goals. And I do think the trauma piece, maybe we overlooked not putting in the staff as much and bringing school climate and trauma together to bring that staffing piece, because I don't think we really made an emphasis or a rationale behind why it's important to deal with staff as well in this process due to secondary trauma and well-being. So I just think those two we could wordsmith them together with the same with rationale.
Santa, this is Kathy.
Yes, hi.
Hi, and I'm going to make my comment wearing the hat of a nurse practitioner that works in a school-based clinic. And I look at these three goals, and to me, they can be combined as one. I say that, again, wearing the hat of a nurse practitioner who does a full wellness assessment and physical exam in a school-based clinic here in Anchorage. So, questions about school climate and questions about adverse childhood events are all part of my assessment as I do a physical on a child. What's more, after I do their physical assessment, their physical, right, and I'm including, of course, all those pieces in the student health recommendation as well, I then have an opportunity to, if I see the need, refer that child to a behavioral therapist who is also based in the school. So, to me, the ideal scenario, and really we're talking transformational here, right? That's the whole goal of this exercise, these months of work, is that transformational process. And so I see these three goals here, they're important, but they all really combine into one in the practice that I have right now in a school here in Anchorage. And it's not just one school. It's actually in two and about to expand into a third. That's the end of my comment.
Thank you, Senator.
So this is Maureen, the school nurse down here in Juneau, and I agree that addressing the health is intertwined with the trauma, but also so much of what happens in school nursing, school health services is not necessarily with kids from a trauma background. You know, making sure kids can see and hear and addressing their chronic health needs is a key component. And the transformational piece would be that currently, like I say, our big five districts mostly have this in the schools, but how do we extend that to every district in the state, making sure every kid has someone with some healthcare background, taking a look at the whole child, as well as their environment outside of the school. And, you know, school-based health clinics are an important component of addressing the whole child, but transformational thinking about how we're going to extend this to every single kid in the state and understanding that the health services piece is deeply intertwined with trauma, but also has a very separate component. And so I do agree that I think perhaps the climate and the trauma informed might be able to be combined into one, but I think the mental physical health might need to remain as a separate goal because it, you know, figuring out how to put those people into, or not necessarily the people, but having all the districts have access to school health and counseling services should be our transformational goal for that piece.
This is Mary. I want to just share my voice one more time on this. While all three of these are very, they are interwoven and very, we could combine them into one goal. And if that's what happens and the committee decides to do that, then I will support it. However, I have to make it real clear that with what I know about trauma-informed practices, and the typical school has about 30% or I don't know what the actual percentage is, of students who have experienced ACEs before they enter our schools. So adverse child experiences that impact them, and we have to be sensitive to that, and we have to have a different approach. Okay, that covers 30%. We also have the mental health and the physical health, which we just heard about. The school climate part of it that I've been working on for 2 years, that I've seen transformational results in, and I know for a fact in the schools around the state, we are not doing what's happening. And there's so much room for improvement here with school climate. It enlists an army of 100% of our students to end bullying, to take action, to be kind and respectful. So when you talk about school climate, you are really, if you're a leader that is tapping into every human being in the school to say that we are going to change these results, there's peer-to-peer interactions that happen with school climate that have to be addressed. There's adult interactions with how adults treat children and each other that have to be addressed that doesn't fall under trauma-informed practices. There are behaviors amongst adults in the building that are toxic, that interfere with how we meet the needs of these kids. And all of our energy in a school has to be spent on supporting our kids. We don't have any time to waste. And to me, it's such an urgent issue that in order to really meet the needs of our country and create a healthy country, we have to say that 100% of the human behavior in the school is critical for the growth of all of us. And so that's why I just say school climate, in order to be transformational, we can't just say trauma-informed practices is going to impact school climate. But
but I really want to transform education in this way, and so I feel like they need to be separate goals with a common rationale.
Thanks, Mary. Other comments?
Yeah, this is James. I lean more towards three separate goals. One, because this is our last meeting, and to try to combine the three is going to be quite the process and probably not going to happen very effectively. Two, I think it highlights the three main things that this committee's come up with. And to make it all one, I think you may lose some of that edge on the three major, you know, goals that we came up with. Another reason is what Mary just said. Some things may be easier to implement than others right away. For instance, school climate may be easier to implement than working on the whole trauma piece. And so this gives the board and the department steps towards meeting all three without having them combined into one and having to just then try to pull things out. So I would lean towards keeping three, trying to maybe work on our goal, like Jerry said, about maybe trying to get that defined down. If the rationales overlap, they overlap. I don't think that's a big deal. It's probably bound to happen when you're talking about things that are going to overlap. But again, we're trying to get things for the board to discuss and recommend, and I would just hate to have anything lost in combining into one.
Thanks, James. Other thoughts? Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, James took the words out of my mouth. I was going to jump in and share basically the same thing. I'm concerned that out asking for something. I think if we have three things that are presented to the board as our goals, they will look at those three, they'll take them seriously. If they come with one, they're apt to see that we've left some stuff out, left some stuff off. I'm concerned that maximizing a big one, you know, BHAG we call it, the big, hairy, audacious goal, we might lose some of the smaller things that we've been really fighting for. As I've been, discussing the issue of school attendance, and I don't want to see that be muted away because now we're all looking at this one big goal. So I'm for keeping it at three, and let the Board of Education decide later, perhaps, if there's too many among all of the different committees together, and they need to reduce, you know, let them have a shot at it.
Thanks. Other thoughts?
This is Walt. You know, when we looked at all three of them, they all kind of start out with the same thing about we're looking for the well-being of each and every student. And if that is our ultimate goal, then the two things that we need to attack or make address, rather, I'm sorry, being an old cop, is that we are mindful of the school environment, and we're also mindful of any trauma that individual may have encountered. But the goal basically is for all three is the same, having that child prepared in a healthy, happy way in a safe environment. So if you could almost make that the main goal, and the sub-goals would be the trauma-informed and the school environment that have to be focused upon so that they can obtain that safe, healthy, happy kid.
Thank you, Commissioner. Other thoughts?
This is James again. I like Walt's thought about maybe defining safety and well-being committees and then having those goals. You know, basically you're defining it, and then you're having your goals underneath that definition. That sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm.
This is Mary. I agree with that comment that if we have an overall goal, if we have three sub-goals that directly relate to that overall goal underneath, that works too. Or even two. I don't want to be the one that's just really stuck on this, but I think the more that we separate them, just because I'm on the field and I work with leaders throughout the state, that we can't
overemphasize this enough. I just don't want to see mediocrity in this area in our schools.
This is Jerry. However you decide to configure them is fine, but ultimately I'm going to ask you to limit yourself to three goals. There has been the desire from almost every committee to expand beyond three goals. And we started out with that expectation and that limitation, and I'd like to finish with that limitation intact. So please be mindful of that as you configure your recommendations.
So this is Laura, and I think Walt's idea of, you know, an overall goal with these three as the primary might actually capture everything this committee's been working on.
This is Todd. Jerry, maybe you could clarify this. In my mind, as I try to organize all these transformational recommendations and all their amazingness, I think what the glue that already exists is we were convened as the Safety and Well-Being Committee and to create goals that all hit the same target, which was promoting safety and well-being. So is that already established for us?
Could you clarify that a little bit, Todd?
Sure. So we're creating goals and rationale around safety and well-being, which was kind of the strategic objective that was set forward by the state board. Does that strategic objective constitute kind of that singular shared mission? Is it the umbrella under which these three transformational goals live?
Well said. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, so this is Santa. So I think we really have established that, like what we're saying is we are promoting the safety and well-being of students, and if we end up with these are the three large recommendations that we have that will be transformational in that area to achieve that. Other discussion? Hi, Lily, go ahead.
Hi. So as a parent, well, I was on the school climate subcommittee, and just as a parent, from my perspective, thinking of my own children, I would really like to see these remain three separate goals, just because, you know, my own kids are going to benefit from school climate being a priority for the state, whereas, you know, I don't, maybe with friends and you know, the climate kind of indirectly through trauma-informed, it would affect them and the health services as well. But kind of as Mary had said, just 100% of the students and staff and people within a building, I just think the school climate portion is really important kind of.
Thank you for that perspective, Lily.
My pleasure, as always.
Sorry, Siri was responding. Any other comments?
Hi, this is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
I was just sitting here trying to, in my mind, combine both the trauma-informed practices and the school climate goals, and it just became a mishmash. It was really tough, so I would lean towards keeping them separate.
Okay, thanks.
And this is Pete here. I agree, too, you know, from what James had said initially there, that keeping three of them will highlight the need for each. And, I concur with that.
Okay. Anyone else want to weigh into this conversation? I think right now I'm hearing we keep three. That sounds like the majority to me. I see the benefit in both, but I do think I don't think it hurts to keep them separate as three. We could do work, but I think James is wise, thinking that it would probably take us quite a ways, quite a while to make it sure that we cover everything well in one statement. Anybody else want to weigh in or have thoughts?
This is Laura. I say we keep the three. Maureen as well.
Do we want to go down and vote? I'll take a vote. James, yes or no? Keep three? Go to one. Keep three.
I'm getting there. Yeah, keep three, please.
Keith.
I think three is a good round number.
Leona.
Yes, I think we should keep the three.
Thanks. Lily, we heard, I think, three.
Yes.
Senator Giesel, I think we heard one from you, but.
I'm just advisory, whatever the
Thank you. Pete, I think we heard three.
Correct, yes.
I don't think Norma has joined us yet. Laura?
Three.
Walt?
I'm fine with three. It was just a suggestion to stir some more conversation.
Yes. You're good at that. Mary, I think I hear three.
You got it.
Maureen?
Three.
Jeff?
Three.
And Lillian, have you joined us yet? All right. So I hear we're going to keep three. So I think what we're going to do next, let's go back and we're going to tackle each one and see if we can tighten the recommendation or the goal language. And again, let's think about what Jerry said. We want to have a tight, succinct recommendation to put forward, and taking out anything that appears to be the how we would go about doing it, or actions or next steps. So reading the school climate one again, the goals stated, to achieve equity and educational opportunity in public education, every Alaska school must create a sustainable and positive school climate that is safe, supportive, and engaging for all students, staff, and stakeholders. Any thoughts about any changes or?
That sounds like a pretty concise statement. This is Maureen. I think it sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Other comments? All right, so what we're going to do, I want to vote on each one of these, though, because I want to make sure, again, that we have the majority of the committee that wants to move forward with this statement as our goal. Again, one more time, to achieve equity and educational opportunity in public education, every Alaska school must create a sustainable and positive school climate that is safe, supportive, and engaging for all students, staff, and stakeholders. Yes, we want to move forward with this recommendation. James?
Yes.
Yes or no? Thank you. Keith?
Yes.
Leona?
Yes.
Lily?
Yes.
Senator Giesel?
Sustainable mean that there won't be added cost to the budget? I'm just being practical here.
I know.
It's a lovely goal, as long as it's not a fiscal number.
This is Mary. I'd like to say that this is something that can be done with the people in the building. I mean, it's harder. It's a goal that absolutely is just
created and done by a team of people. Money does not need to be attached to creating this environment. I mean, it would be nice to have some money. It's always nice to have money, but this is something that we do without additional money.
This is Jeff. I would echo Mary's sentiment there that, you know, we try to do a wonderful positive school climate on a shoestring budget, and it can be done.
And this is Stan again, and I'll just say I had a wonderful opportunity again to visit with Mary at Colony Middle, and they're carrying this out. It was such a wonderful, welcoming environment for those students there. And like Mary said, I don't think has required a lot of money to do this, but it's the time and the buy-in and the understanding from everyone within that school environment, including the students. So Pete?
Yes.
Laura?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
And Mary, I think it's a yes. Maureen?
Mine would be a yes. The only thing I wonder about is, would we want to include the word families, or is that implied in the stakeholders? You know, recognizing that we want to create a positive climate for families coming into the building and just knowing that they're a part of the team. So I don't know, like I say, that may be implied in stakeholders, or do we want to explicitly mention families?
Mary, do you think families is incorporated in stakeholders, or maybe?
Maybe stakeholders sounds a little too stakeholderish. I actually love the idea of somehow strengthening the family in this process, because that's what we really tap into. Is we say when you we send postcards home to every single school. And every single student at the start of the year, authentic, personalized postcards. Mm. And what they say is, when you enter this loving school, consider yourself a special member of an extraordinary family. When you enter this loving school, consider yourself a special member of an extraordinary family. And that is kind of our message to anyone who comes in our school. Like, this is a family environment, and we are strengthening the family with what we do here and how we teach our students to take action to make our school the best possible school in the nation, is what we say. We're enlisting them in our army of do-gooders, and they can radiate good energy and make our school better with just, you know, a simple, you know, change in their attitude. And so, yeah, family would be a nice addition and very personalized.
Can I make a suggestion, Ms. Jeff? Can we say students, staff, families, and community members?
I like it.
Or the greater family.
Yeah, or students, families, staff, and stakeholders, or community members, yeah. I think the family is so key. You know, healthy parents are a kid's greatest hope for success. And helping them feel engaged and
well,
and part of the team is critical.
And I agree absolutely. And I just want to be very cautious about. Sometimes I've had to work through difficult conversations with people who blame the family and then don't take any ownership over the 8 hours a day that we have with the child, and we are that family during mm-hmm. that time, and we have total control to show them a healthy family, and that's why we do what we do. So I love the idea of strengthening the family through what we do and radiating and kind of having us as a lighthouse for the community, but owning the fact that we create that healthy family within our school, regardless of where kids are coming from. We can't change their environment at home, but we can certainly work to support growing it.
Okay.
So did I hear, so maybe we would change that to say, to achieve equity and educational opportunity in public education, every Alaska school must create a sustainable and positive school climate that is safe, supportive, and engaging for all students, families, and community staff and community
stakeholders.
Community partners?
Or in community? Stakeholders, not such a bad word, but I think inserting family in there kind of elevates the importance of engaging with the family.
How about you just say community?
And community, yes, I think that probably encompasses what we need. Okay, is there any objection to that change, adding families and changing stakeholders to community?
Dana, this is Jerry. I don't have an objection to that. But I do, as I listen to you, this is a very directive goal. You're saying that schools must do this. I can't think of any goal that directs people to do something. A goal is something to be achieved. I mean, you're telling people what to do with this goal. I think the goal is a great idea, and it's a great goal. But I don't know that everyone is going to receive this in a very positive way if you're pointing the finger and saying, you have to do this.
The Alaska school must strive to create a sustainable and positive school climate?
I think it's transformational if we must do it.
I guess I don't see it as a negative. I mean, I understand what you're saying, Jerry, so I'm trying to think how it would be strong if we changed it to just try to do or encourage to do. I'm not sure.
What about the vision of every Alaska school is? I agree with Jerry, and again, I'm going back to the context of schools that I'm working in now. They have multiple ethnicities in them, each with different cultures, who would view what is written here in different ways. So I agree with Jerry.
Okay, thank you. Let's see. To achieve.
This is Walt. It's almost like going back to that old adage, it takes a village. And the concept of, many hands make the work lighter, or something akin to that. The more successful we are in working as a community to advance our children, the more successful we will all be. And if you phrased it in that kind of thing rather than a mandate, it's just saying that the best possible environment is one where everyone participates in.
Okay, other thoughts? I think what I'm going to do, I'm looking at the time. It's time for our break. So over our 10-minute break, let's think about how we might reword this as, I like Senator Giesel's vision of a welcoming school. I'm not sure, so I'm just going to let us go to our break time here. Let's take 10 minutes, and we'll come back together and see if this will give us some clarity on how to revamp this one. So I've got 2:17, so let's come back together in 10 minutes, so 2:27. Thank you.
Dana, this is Jeff. I'll be just a little late. School ends in 10 minutes. So.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. All right. I welcome everybody back. I have 2:27, so I think we're ready to get started again. So during the break, I thought maybe I'd start off, I'd let Mary talk a little bit more if she's still on the line with us. She may have had to go do something, but if you, Mary, could share kind of how did you roll this out at your school, and if you think if this is a directive, would it be transformational, or how would it be picked up? Mary? She must have, she was probably at the end of, maybe at the end of school and had to go join. Anybody else from the committee have anything to add after the break on this discussion of this goal?
This is Lily.
Hi, Lily.
I think my perspective on the goal and the way that it's written isn't so much, I mean, I guess it is written as a directive, but I think the mindset behind it was more of like, in order for this to happen, this must take place, not so much like you have to do this, but more of, you know, if you want these great things for kids in Alaska, this is what has to take place. So I felt like that was more the language behind it instead of like a harsh directive. But I kind of wonder too, you know, Mary, before she got off the phone, had said, well, you know, maybe it does need to be a directive for it to be transformational. And I was thinking about that through the break. And, you know, apart from just being a parent, I also do have a professional teaching license in the state of Alaska, although I'm not teaching, and I have to do stuff to maintain that. And that's mandated, you know, by the state. And there are a lot of directives that way, you know, and holding teachers to a certain standard, saying, you know, you have to do these classes. You have to do, you know, the more extra things that have been added here recently to maintain your teaching license. And I know that's not what this is about, but I don't necessarily think it's a negative thing to hold schools to a standard and that there's a common standard that would be benefiting the school, you know, schools in Alaska as a whole. So those are just some of my thoughts through the break.
Thanks, Lily. Other thoughts?
This is Laura. I was not on this committee, but I was talking during the break that I truly believe if the subcommittee feels this strongly and we as a committee have agreed that this is something important, put language forth like that is important to say that we truly believe this, and if the board wishes to change the language as they work through it, that's a decision they can make, but it sounds like our committee feels strongly that this has to happen if you want these changes. And again, the Department of Ed Board can change that. They can say, we have a vision, we advise, so I really believe we should keep the language as it is.
Other comments?
This is Maureen, and I agree. I think that it is transformational to have everyone address this, and I feel like we must. And that committee worked very hard on coming up with this language, so I think at this moment in time to come in and change it dramatically would not be fair to the work that they've done.
Hi, this is Mary coming back in. I have one comment. Do you guys want it?
Well, Mary, actually, I asked her when I opened back up, and I said, oh, she must have had to run for a minute. So what I had asked for you, and yes, we want your comment, but I had just suggested that you share how you rolled this out at your school, and do you think it would be transformational if it's not stated as a must?
So I hear you guys, and I just want to share something with you to open up. And I think we could easily add the word, every school must work to create, because it takes work, and work that's going to be ongoing forever. I mean, I actually talked this morning on announcements about it. We're always having an influx of new students coming into our school, new community members. So this is a work in progress, and in order to be sustainable, it's always going to take work. And so I would be okay with adding that we must work to create this and make it a priority for sure. But I just want you to know that this is part of the outcome of the work that we've done at our school. And the reason I get so passionate about it is I know that it saves lives. And I'm going to just read to you something that I received on Monday as I came to work. It was in one of our, we have a lot of things that we've created that don't cost money, but they took planning and thought because this is a priority. And one of the things we have is a shout-out board, and you can write a shout-out to anyone in our school community and just put it on the board, and then we deliver them that day at lunch to whoever they're written to. They just need to be authentic and genuine. And I went into work on Monday morning, and I got this shout-out from a former student, and I just have to read it to you. To Mrs. McMahon, you are always there for me without hesitation. You're an amazing person, and I don't know where I'd be without you. You have helped me through so much, and you are one of the amazing people who's saved my life on many occasions. You have made such a huge impact on my life and so many others. Thank you so much. I love you and your hugs. I am extremely thankful for you. You are a blessing in this world, and I thank God every day for it. You help change so many kids' lives for the better, and you are the change I wish to see and be. This world needs more people like you. From a knight at heart, but a CTHS tiger at school, love, Belly. And I have to tell you, she came to me suicidal many times, and I immediately just knew by her body language that I needed to bring her in my office. We needed to get the counselors involved. We needed to get her support she needed. We needed to call home and tell Mom, and Mom cried with me on the phone, and we worked with Mom and Dad, and the dad was in prison, and I just can't emphasize enough how important this is. This work is so important. It saves lives. So that's why I'm so passionate about it, and I absolutely, and to have a transformational goal here, I would love to see every school in our state make this a priority.
Thank you, Mary. I don't know that anybody has a comment after that, but so what I heard, and since this was Mary's committee, is that we could add must work to create. We're going to add then the other pieces, families and community, and then I think we'll have that goal wrapped up. So Todd and I will work. Again, we will send this back out to the committee after our meeting sometime in the next few days. We'll send these back out with the final look for everyone and see if we've captured everything. So I think we're going to go on to our second one, trauma-informed, unless there's any more conversation on the school climate goal. All right, thank you. And Mary, thank you so much for your work on this and your subcommittee members. Laura, next, trauma-informed.
Well,
so the goal, well, let me read. I'll read the goal one more. So we'll read what we currently have in place, if I get the right, here it is. To provide safety and to care for the well-being of each student, Alaska schools will create a culturally humble, responsive, and safe environment that recognizes the needs of the whole child, institutes trauma-informed practices, and understands the vital importance of building relationships with every child to improve resiliency, health, and academic outcomes. Through both expanded community and state partnerships and ongoing professional development and support, school-wide trauma-informed practices will be developed that begin with early learning, create nurturing relationships with students, and incorporate social-emotional learning, establish an understanding of adverse childhood experiences, establish reflective practices, develop a network of personal and professional relationships, and integrate restorative practices. So, Laura, I'll let you comment.
So when I look at that goal, and you know, committee members jump in, it seems like the first paragraph is actually a goal, and the second section is more of how to reach the goal. So I would encourage us to look at that and, if need be, kind of take the hows more into the rationale section, which I think we could do with some wordsmithing as well as the support that's already there. And then the goal, the one thing I think as a committee, what I would like the committee to consider is we didn't really put language in the actual first paragraph around staff. And then the other piece is that was brought up in our conversation, well, just now when we were on a break, we were talking here in Juneau about even families. The only reason I say staff, we want to create a provide safety and care of the well-being of each student as well as every staff member in a building. And then, so those are just my thoughts, that we take that second section out and put it, embed it somehow in our rationales as to these are the ways to get to this goal, but to consider adding at least staff and have a conversation about family to add to the goal.
Other thoughts, comments?
Yes, this is Jerry. I would just add that in terms of the second paragraph there, the how-to, an option for the committee to consider would be that if committees want to develop action steps to support their goals, they're welcome to do so. And the action steps that are developed are sent directly to Commissioner Johnson. And so that would be another option for you to think about, preserving the information and ensuring that it gets advanced. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. Anybody else from this subcommittee want to talk about the goal?
Yeah, this is Walt. I kind of like what that first part, as it was suggested, that the rest are the how-tos, and we just stayed with the first part. And I think it would be that conciseness, and also invites other people just to add to it when they discuss it. But we can start off with an early menu, and it can be fleshed out by others later.
Thank you.
I sort of was playing with some language. We could do something like to provide safety and care for the well-being of each student, staff. Do we want to add family? Family is different to me in this environment versus school climate. So but I do want to honor the conversation that took place. But I do see adding the well-being for each student and staff. I mean, we want everyone in the building and in the school environment to be safe and cared for. Do I hear any conversation about adding family?
Well, and this is Maureen and Laura. If it were to be added, I would recommend it down with building relationships with every child and family, but not us in that first part, if we were to include it.
So if we made that first sentence say to provide safety and to care for the well-being of each student and staff, Alaska schools will create a culturally humble, responsive, and safe environment that recognizes the needs of the whole child, institute trauma-informed practices, and understands the vital importance of building relationships with every student and family. Is that what you're thinking?
Well, I think that's kind of that building of relationships is key, and working with just the family or the child in isolation isn't going to take us where we need to go, but
So it would read something like, to build the importance of building relationship with every child and family to improve resiliency, health, and academic outcomes.
Or you might consider building all relationships with that surround the child to improve the resiliency, health, and academic outcomes.
That sounds good. How would we wordsmith that one?
That sounded pretty good.
Is that again? Well,
to building all relationships surrounding
every child.
Every child. All relationships around every child to improve resiliency, health, and academic outcomes. That sounds actually really good.
Because that would be recognizing the importance of every relationship that interacts with that child, be it the bus driver or the foster parent.
Right. So I'm going to read that again. To provide safety and to care for the well-being of each student and staff, Alaska schools will create a culturally humble, responsive, and safe environment that recognizes the needs of the whole child, institute trauma-informed practices, and understands the vital importance of building all relationships with every child to improve resiliency, health, and academic outcomes.
The only difference is that instead of with, I put surrounding, but that's...
Surrounding? That's fine.
Surrounding.
Surrounding?
But if with is easier...
I think better, personally. Uh-huh. And then that second section we could use it as action steps.
This is James. Can someone tell me the rationale between having the humble slash responsive versus humble comma responsive?
Well, this is Laura, and from conversations we had in our committee, it came down to we're used to the terminology of culturally responsive, and yet we're hearing that humble is now the new buzzword as far as cultural respect and honor.
So maybe it's a question of which one.
I heard trauma responsive, and I think I'm not sure. We're saying trauma as a whole. We still have to be responsive to culture. Or humble to culture. I mean, I don't know if that answered what you were really asking.
It does. You're just using it as a synonym. So I would be fine with just pulling responsive out and putting culturally humble. And I suppose if you wanted to put in parentheses responsive just to show, because that's going to be a question the board will have, is why is that slash in there? And they're going to want to reason. So either pull out responsive altogether or put it in parentheses.
I think your idea of putting responsive in parentheses would address that.
Okay, that's fine with me.
Anyone else have thoughts to share?
So I guess my question is, are we okay taking the second part of that as action steps? As a committee, are we making that?
So instead of going on, I'll ask, is there anyone that has a problem with taking out the part that starts through both expanded community and state partnerships and finishes that? If we take that and consider those more action items or action steps, so we're going to delete it from the goal and either add it somehow to rationale or either provide an action step to the commissioner. Does anyone have a problem with removing that portion and leaving just that first paragraph as the goal?
I like that concept of separating that second part and making it the very first part under rationale, because it's a good action steps, as everybody's been talking about,
and it gives you a direction that you're really trying to head. And then you explain further on as we bump the rest of it, unfortunately, why. Because that's the justification, really, more than action steps.
Okay, thanks.
And this is Pete here. Yeah, I like the actions. That's one of the things that I've been noticing through all these is that, you know, one of the things we talk about is restorative practices. I really think it's important to keep that, yeah, if we keep them under action steps, but, you know, not really, lessen their impact.
Right. I think removing it doesn't mean we don't consider it from the committee as a very important piece of this moving forward for the next steps. If the state board would move this forward to the governor, then the department would be working on the action steps or pieces to implement this, that they would have that as a very important piece of this goal.
Excellent.
Any other comments? Or I'll let Laura read what. Oh, I'm sorry.
This is James. I just have to say it because it seems rather redundant, even though you reworded the first portion of the first sentence. But I just can't help but look at that and just say, why not just start with Alaska schools will create a culturally humble and go on. I know you reworded that first part, but you're kind of reiterating the safety and well-being committee title. So, anyway.
Okay. So you're suggesting we start Alaska schools will create culturally humble and safe environment that recognizes the needs of the whole child.
Yeah, because this is the trauma goal, and it gets right to that trauma goal without basically restating the safety and well-being committee.
Okay.
Okay. So then where would we put and staff?
Well, again, I think that's when Walt talked about defining safety and well-being. I mean, that's kind of an overall, in my opinion, it's kind of an overall goal. It's obviously when we're talking about safety and well-being, we're talking about the whole of the school safety and well-being. So I would consider that as you know, every single one of these goals should have at the top. But anyway, I'm just trying to get more specific to what this specific goal is, which is basically the trauma of the child.
Right, and I agree that that's the goal, is to the trauma of the child, but also there's another piece is to mitigate as much secondary trauma to the educator in the environment, so the trauma can be, the child's trauma can also be addressed in a healthy manner. And with resources becoming less and less in our school districts, the amount of the amount of stress that our teachers are under is getting greater and greater. So I really don't want to lose that somewhere as a goal to dealing with trauma in our schools.
I wonder if there's a place for that under the action plan.
Maybe. I just don't want to lose it. So I think it's
right.
We would do a disservice to the children if we lose that piece.
To me, that almost sounds like, and please, everybody else jump in, a how, because it's kind of like the caretaker. If you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of the needs of the person that you're trying to be the caretaker for. So I understand what James is saying. I think there's an inherent in our charge to the committee that we're looking at the whole school.
Mm-hmm. No, and I think that's true, but that, I agree with that statement. It's just a matter of where do we not lose it.
Right.
In our presentation.
And I think it's the same, like we're saying, all of these pieces that we identified or that the subcommittee identified under here, we don't want them lost. And so I see that as a place to maybe add the needs of the staff, how to address that.
Mm-hmm. Anna, this is Jerry. Kind of a rule to go by that folks often use when developing goal statements is to think that every word in a goal statement should do heavy lifting. And so we want words there that move us quickly in a specific direction, don't repeat where we are or where we've been, or are quite focused so that the goal becomes specific for people. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry. Any other comments?
We can move staff stuff down to the house.
Mm-hmm. So, Laura, do you have it in a, mm-hmm. can you read what I think we've got so far so everyone can hear that, and then maybe we can vote or see if we have other thoughts?
Alaska schools will create a culturally humble, in parentheses, responsive and safe environment that recognizes the needs of the whole child, institutes trauma-informed practices, understands the vital importance of building all relationships surrounding every child to improve resiliency, health, and academic outcomes.
I think that encompasses all the changes that we heard from the committee. Did we miss anything? All right, any more discussion around this goal before we vote? And again, in this discussion, we're going to take the second part. We'll add something about staff under it, and that would become the action step. All right, so I'm going to go around again and ask for a yes or no that we move this goal as restated by Laura with those changes onto the state board. James?
Yes.
Keith? He may have left us. He had to leave, I think. Leona?
Yes.
Lily?
Yes.
Senator Giesel?
This sounds like a really nicely refined school climate goal. Sure.
Thank you. Pete?
Yes.
Norma, have you joined us yet? Laura?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Mary?
Yes.
Maureen?
Yes.
Jeff? I think he had to leave for a while. Lillian, have you joined us yet?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Lillian, have you heard this discussion on the trauma-informed? Do you want to vote to move this forward?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you. All right, our third...
Hey, Santa.
Yes.
This is Keith. I couldn't get to my button fast enough, so I have a yes also.
I'm sorry. I thought maybe you left us. Thank you.
I have another half an hour. I'll be it all. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. All right. Our third goal, Student Health Subcommittee, and I will read what we currently have, and then we'll talk about any changes. It is absolutely fundamental that every child enrolled in public education in the state of Alaska have access to school nursing health services. Currently, the physical and mental health needs of all students are not being addressed equitably across our state. Collaboration between school nursing, public health, tribal health, local clinics, and mental health providers will be needed to adequately address the need in all communities across our state.
And before we delve too deep into it, already recognizing that some of this is more appropriate in the rationale portion and also some of it more appropriate in the how, I would put forward a revised, yet another revision, to read, to ensure the physical and mental health needs of all students in all schools are addressed, students enrolled in public education need direct access to school nursing slash health and counseling services. And then, like I say, moving down into the rationale would be, currently the physical and mental health needs of all students are not being addressed equitably across our state. And then, you know, a much more expanded rationale would be coming, but just trimming up the initial statement, goal statement, to the one sentence, basically, would be my proposal.
Any comments or thoughts?
This is Mary.
Hi, Mary.
I really like the way that you reworded that to take out the rationale and make it more of a goal. I'm just wondering if it should say, instead of need, will have.
Let's see, would that be, enrolled in public education need direct access.
I'm just wondering if we should say, will have direct access. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's possible, but to me that would be the goal.
Well, there is Skype. I think we could put will have. And that, and how that looks will, you know, I mean, that could be an itinerant nurse coming out to a community a few times a year, you know. So there are different ways to achieve this, but I think will have, I think that sounds good. If other committee members agree.
Other comments? Suggestions? So I'm going to have Maureen read this one more time, what that language sounds like now.
To ensure the physical and mental health needs of all students in all schools are addressed, students enrolled in public education will have direct access to school nursing slash health and counseling services.
I'm wondering if we have the same, kind of what James brought up before, I wonder if that introductory statement is inherent to the umbrella of what this committee's charge was. Mm-hmm. So if we started
with every student?
Every student?
Yeah, maybe every student. I don't know if that loses something, because I don't have what you have read in front of me.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
It's
to ensure the physical and mental health needs of all students in all schools are addressed. I wonder if, is that, other thoughts about it, is that covered in our charge, promote safety and well-being, or is that not explicit enough in, that we need this explicitly there? Again, I'm thinking of tightening that language.
I think you could start with every student will have access to, and the piece that I would be worried about losing is the mental health piece.
Right, so maybe that.
It can, but to say it at the beginning does sound redundant to the charge. However, we can put it embedded in the goal. I don't have that in front of me, but I just think our goal is that every student will have access to this mental health and whatever was in that, whatever. But I think we can embed it.
You're flipping the beginning to the end of the sentence?
Well, somewhere in there, because the mental health piece needs to... really does need to stand out as well as health services.
Well, it does start off with to ensure the physical and mental health needs.
Right, and it's kind of like the goal we wrote that said to ensure the safety. It's kind of like what the committee's already been charged with, so we know that.
Uh-huh.
So if we start with every student but embed that mental health and safety
Are you saying that every student will have enrolled in public education will have direct access to school nursing / health and counseling services to ensure the physical and mental health needs of all students in all schools are addressed?
Something like that.
So it's kind of the same sentence, but just...
So we're not repeating the charges at the very beginning, and we're not losing what we're asking or what we're believing as a committee.
So do we think that safety and well-being, which is our charge, is the same as ensuring that we provide for the physical and mental health needs? This is really what we're asking.
This is James. I would try to just word it and make sure you have your physical and mental health needs in the charge. And I would like to keep the whole collaboration piece in there because I think there's great value in ongoing student health and community involvement if that stays in the actual goal somehow. I mean, it is a how, but I think that should be the goal of any community that has that outlet is to collaborate with. So it will probably happen, but you never know. It may not.
Okay.
All right, but I'm just wondering if you put something like that first line.
Any other thoughts? There. I'm not saying if we think we should leave it that way. I was just hearing it kind of as, like I said, just maybe tightening the language as Jerry, listening to Jerry saying, let's be succinct.
Let's see. For mental health. So some physical and mental health needs.
Yeah, well, it's right up there.
Right, physical.
Right, I'm just, that's right.
Yeah, but I don't know, I don't see the value in flipping that sentence. You know, and you're saying the same thing, but just in a different order, and I don't necessarily see the value of that.
Well, I wonder if it's just,
yeah.
I don't know, and I don't
really
get in the middle of doing the changing too much, because you, again, this committee works. Students enrolled in public education will have direct access to school nursing help and counseling services. I'm not sure that doesn't get at it, but if we felt like, and then if we added something about the collaboration in there that James mentioned, or still if the collaboration goes, as we talked about, we put action steps behind this one that would also go to Commissioner Johnson to make sure that we're talking about this collaboration has to happen.
Yeah, and I agree. I think the collaboration piece is strongly, solidly in the hows. And so I don't know that it necessarily needs to go in the goal statement. But.
So if I read this again, tell me if we're missing, if it doesn't encompass the mental health, because I certainly don't want to leave that piece out. Students enrolled in public education will have direct access to school nursing, help, and counseling services. If that's our goal, does that encompass every piece?
Well, I think including to meet the physical and mental health needs, you know, I think that's okay to include that in that goal statement just as a clarifying point.
Okay.
In case people don't. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I guess I see both sides of it. I mean, you would think that most people, when they see counseling included in there, see that as synonymous with mental health counseling services. So I could see how it could survive in the absence of specifically including the words mental health. But it's so important. It's so under-addressed. I really like that it's there to highlight.
Well, and it is one sentence in this format, and I don't see there's much value in trimming that one sentence down even.
Okay. So any other discussion about that? Any
Santa?
Yes.
So I'm one of those, again, healthcare providers. This is Kathy. And I can't provide anything for a student without the consent of that student's parent. So where does collaboration with the family and parents come into this?
Well, Kathy, so this would be a school-based health clinic versus school nursing counseling services, and I can tell you we are on the phone to parents. I think school nurses are talking to parents probably more than anyone else in the building. And, you know, so it is, you know, if there's, if we are collaborating with parents all the time, and but I, the bigger picture of how to meet this goal of having students throughout the state having this access would be through collaboration. You know, maybe the person going in and doing the vision and hearing screening is the public health nurse, or you know, someone coming over and doing a medication training to school staff might be someone from a local clinic in the absence of availability of a nurse. So that's what I mean by the collaboration. And of course, none of this would be done without the full knowledge and consent of the parent. You know, parents have to sign, you know, any medication authorization form. Whenever we do our vision hearing screenings, we notify the families it's going to happen. So that's just a little different from a school-based clinic that the parents do need to provide permission for their children to attend that clinic. So that's a little different than what school nursing health services looks like within a school.
I appreciate that, Maureen, and am aware of that role and the exact function of a school nurse, and I appreciate that. When you're talking about counseling services and health services, it's beyond just an eye screening. That's what you're referring to. That's what you just articulated. I get all of that. But this goal is much broader than that. So I'm just pointing out that none of this happens without a partnership with the parents.
Yeah, and when I say counseling services, this is not like a mental health counselor. You know, it would be the school counselor touching base with the student during the school day, for instance. And I believe the language in special education law regarding school nursing has now been, they define it as school nursing / health services, meaning that it might not be a school nurse, say, administering that tube feeding or providing the medication, but they would, you know, that is providing health services within the school. So that's why I put that nursing / health, because that's mirroring what special education language uses.
I think maybe, Senator Beasel, I hear what you're saying, that absolutely in these partnerships, the family, so maybe as we talked about in the other goal for the trauma with the action steps, that within this one, if we move the collaboration that we put, part of the how is going to be in conjunction with families, parents,
partnering with, yeah, and that is a critical piece of meeting the physical and mental health needs of the student, is partnering with the families. It's a critical piece. And so I think including that in the hows and possibly in the rationale as well.
Any other thoughts? So what I'm hearing, I'll have Maureen read the wording that we have right now, and understanding that we'll take the other pieces as part of the rationale and the how-to steps and incorporate a family
partnership
piece within the how-to. So I'll let Maureen, if you'll read what we've got one more time, and then we'll vote yes or no to move this recommendation forward.
Let's see, I was just thinking about these. To ensure the physical and mental health needs of all students in all schools are addressed, students enrolled in public education will have direct access to school nursing / health and counseling services.
All right, so I'm going to do a roll call again. If there's are any more discussion first. So roll call yes or no to move this recommendation forward. James?
Yes.
Keith?
Yes.
Leona?
Yes.
Lily?
Yes.
Senator Giesel?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
Laura?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Mary?
Yes.
Maureen?
Sure.
Jeff? Lillian? All right. So, as I said, what we will do, or actually what Todd will do, Todd will take our notes, rewrite these again as we heard the committee vote on them, tighten up rationale pieces, put some action steps under the ones that we had the action items for, and we'll send that back out in the next few days for the entire committee again to look at one more time, any more input, and then finalize that to go to the state board for the October 4th meeting. Any other conversation about our goals, recommendations, before we kind of go into the last part of the meeting here? We might end up finishing a little early today. Any other comments or thoughts? All right.
This is Mary. What's the last part? Go ahead. What's the last part?
No. Go ahead, Mary.
Well, I just didn't want to miss because I have to run here in a minute. But I just wanted to say two things. One, this was one of the most important committees that I've had the great honor to work with. I'm so grateful to work with people so committed to doing this work. And I appreciate that we really listened to everybody and considered all options. I just feel like we really said what needed to be said and we came together as a group. So I'm just grateful to be working with you guys and looking forward to meeting you all again in person on October 4th.
Thank you, Mary. And I too don't want to miss people because I know some people might have to drop off, but to say a huge thank you to everyone who's participated in this because it really has been a labor of love and from people that feel so strongly and passionate about looking for ideas that will be transformative for our schools and make a difference for our children and our students, so I can't thank everyone enough. But quickly, I wanted to just point, you should have also received in the emails that I sent you the agenda for October 4th. And during that day, we as a committee will have some time to meet together and really more as a celebration and coming together and talking about our recommendations moving forward. And then there's going to be a time in the afternoon that we will share the presentation with the entire committee, the whole Education Challenge, all the committees and the state board. And that is at, our time is 3:45 to 4:15. And we actually have to provide, we have a PowerPoint, and I sent the template of that. And Todd and I will be responsible for actually putting this PowerPoint together, but neither one of us will be presenting the PowerPoint. So we need to talk about committee-wise how we would like to present, who, and a couple of suggestions. The PowerPoint will really just consist of our goals and the rationale for the three that we have decided that will come from our committee. And so either one person could present the, or all of them, or we could have one person from each of the subcommittees present the goal and the rationale during this time. The whole committee, whoever is able to attend, will actually come up front and be available to share their thoughts or comments or answer questions during this time. But I need volunteers that will actually present the PowerPoint. So, do I have volunteers?
Hold on, kid.
So, do you want to present your one or? So, well, I'll just come right out and ask, Mary, would you be responsible for presenting the recommendation from the school climate subcommittee?
I'd be happy to.
And then, Laura, if you would, Maureen, are you going to be in attendance?
Yes, I will.
And would you?
And I can.
Okay.
And if my two committee member people want to stand up there with me, that would be awesome, too.
Well, they will. The whole committee will be up front. But if you, I appreciate that, then if each of you would just present your subcommittee's recommendation and the other members would be there then to answer
and
questions.
So would we just be presenting the recommendation, not the rationales or the how?
Yes, we will present the rationale, not the how, unless, I mean, we may get a question or two or
mm-hmm.
something, so we might, but it's really a very short, what do we have, 30 minutes.
Okay.
So it will basically be presenting, here's our goal, here's the rationale,
mm-hmm.
and then a few minutes for any conversation around that,
mm-hmm.
and then the next goal, rationale, and the third goal and rationale. Okay, that's great. So again, Todd and I will put the actual PowerPoint together when we get when we send back out the final versions of what we heard today and get the approval of the whole committee on that the final version. But I'm going to go around also and ask who is going to be in attendance just to make sure. You may have already let Aaron Hardin know, but I want to double check for our numbers. So I'll do a roll call to see if you will be in attendance. And James and Keith, I know both of you are going to be there. So, Leona, are you going to be able to join us on October 4th?
Yes, I will be there.
Great. Lily?
Yes.
And Jennifer's not. Senator Giesel?
Yes.
Great. Pete?
Yes, I will be there.
Norma, are you on the phone yet? But I don't think she's going to be able to join us that day. Oh, no, I think she is. I'm sorry. I'll double check. Laura?
Yes.
Walt?
Unfortunately, I'll be out of state on a different item. But I hope to get my Deputy Commissioner Bill Comer there, and he and I have been conversing on this a lot.
Oh, great. Well, I'll look to hear from him then. Thank you. We'll miss you, though.
Thank you.
Mary, yes. I'll put you for a yes. And Maureen, yes. Jeff?
Yes.
Good. Lillian?
Yes.
Great. All right. I think that, was anyone else able to join us on the phone? I think I had a few members that were coming in late, but I don't know if they've made it.
Can I add one thing before
yes.
we disband? I just want to be clear. On the agenda on October 4th, between 11:15 and 12:15, when we have that hour, in addition to just having that chance to come together and to celebrate our hard work, I wanted to say that we will have a projector available. We will come with a finalized PowerPoint. There will be an opportunity to kind of do a run through that and maybe even to think creatively as a group about the kinds of questions we anticipate and kind of think about smart answers. And so that, just know that that's what we'll do during that hour.
Okay.
Thank you. And before we break, I want to say thank you to everyone. I also want to say a special thank you to Sharon and Todd, who did so much behind the scenes for our subcommittee. And I don't think we could have made it as nicely as we did without their help.
Well, this is Santa. I just was going to, before we closed, and I meant to do it at the beginning, to say Todd is the backbone and the workhorse as far as the department for me, and I can't. No, this wouldn't have happened without him and his guidance and his expertise in these areas. It's amazing. And his passion for what we're doing and how this will affect kids is just, it's beyond belief for me, because he is just such an awesome member of this team and just for the department, such an advocate for our kids. So I can't say thanks enough to him, too. So any other questions about the 4th? I think you got, I also had attached, it's kind of a little meeting outline of the day, where to stay for reservations, the room block information. So I think we've covered everything and the logistics of that day. Any final comments? All right, well, it's 3:30 almost, so I'm going to let everybody go early today. I, again, appreciate your time and your effort, and I look forward to seeing everybody in Anchorage on October 4th.
Hey, real quick, Santa, before you get off, a huge, huge shout-out to you for doing such an amazing facilitation job. It's so difficult when you can't see people in person, but, boy, you did phenomenal.
Well, thank you. I can't wait to see everybody again. Thank you all. Have a great afternoon.
No.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.